This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. As high school athletic teams get ready for their championships this spring, there's one group that's already won one, and they are not on the field, but they are formidable nonetheless. From Grady High School, the debate team has won the National Urban Debate Championship. The two people who were involved in that, Holden Choi and Ben Dean, both seniors at Grady High School. Also joining us, Isabel Taft, who is also on the Grady debate team and does extemporaneous speaking. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to be here.
Holden, let's start with you. Did you know what you were going to be debating about, and did you get to pick the side that you were going to be competing on?
Well, the topic was assigned to us last year, so we've been preparing over the summer, and now we've been debating on it for about 7 months. And it's resolved the United States federal government to substantially increase its exploration and development of space. And in the preliminary rounds, the first five or so, it's assigned randomly. But once you reach single eliminations, then we're paired based upon a coin flip or if we've debated each other previously.
So, Ben, you and Holden can argue either side of whether the U.S. ought to increase its commitment to space, right?
Yeah. One of the things I like about debate is that it teaches you to like approach things from both sides and be able to adopt any perspective.
Does it help you understand somebody who doesn't think the way you do when you're not debating?
I think it does, because like debate sort of teaches a method of thinking about things as arguments and not necessarily like a capital T truth.
When you're competing, and I'll turn to Holden on this one, when you're competing, can you just throw anything out there, and as long as you're making a good point, it doesn't even necessarily have to be true in order for you to score points in the competition? I mean, can you defend a lie, basically, as long as you do well at it?
Yeah. I would have to say I think the vast majority of things said in a debate are like the person who's saying them doesn't really believe them. For example, we won the final round on global warming is not only not true, an ice age is coming. And as long as you have, like, a claim defending that or some sort of study and you can be persuasive about it, it was conceded in that round. But even if it wasn't conceded, if you can just argue it persuasively, then you can usually win.
So, Ben, did this give you guys a better understanding of politicians?
It's sort of interesting. Some people argue that switching sides in debate disconnects our ethics from our persuasion and produces things like Karl Rove.
We hope Mr. Rove won't take that personally.
Yeah, like that's an argument a lot of really liberal debaters will make. I don't know, I'm not sure how that model maps to like actual politicians.
But you don't think it disconnects you from your moral compass or from your own beliefs?
I think that most of us are capable of understanding that since debate is a game, advocating for a particular position in that context does not imply actual belief or conviction. And I also think that being able to understand something from multiple perspectives is a prerequisite to developing convictions in the first place.
So you're saying study everything before you make up your mind. That's a radical notion to a lot of people.
Well, in the context of debate, you find an argument and then you think about how the other team will answer it. And if it's useful to you, you might also research those answers to it. And that's the way I try to approach issues and arguments in real life.
Holden, you said that defines him. Explain that a little bit. What do you admire about him and how he does this?
Well, he's like quite possibly the most methodical person I know. I like have never seen him make kind of a snap decision without first evaluating like almost every contingency. And maybe it means that he doesn't really pay attention like most of the time, but it does mean when he makes one, he's like almost always correct about it.
What does that teach you about how to deal with people who don't think the way that you do? We are so polarized in this country now.
I think, and I know a lot of people have agreed with me, like Malcolm X thinks that before you can beat someone, you have to be able to understand who they are. Like Sun Tzu said, it's the art of war. A lot of people have made the claim that you should keep your enemies closer. And I think that once you can understand where your opponent is coming from or where polarized figures, how they think, then you can know how to use that to your advantage, so leverage things to get compromises out of them that they wouldn't normally give.
I understand, Holden, it can certainly help with getting an advantage in, let's say, a political battle or any other kind of battle. Does it also, though, help to reach agreement, resolution that satisfies everybody?
I think so. I think that, like, the process of debate rounds are not an attempt for, like, one side to absolutely crush the other. But, like, debate is actually, like, a form of, like, synthesis. So the negative will say something, the affirmative will say something. And by the end of the debate, the two teams have reached, like, more of a compromise than they started with.
Ben, where do you guys go from here?
Well, the final debate tournament of our high school careers is the National Forensic League Nationals, which is early this summer. And then we go to college. I'm going to Emory. Holden's going to Georgetown. And I know I'll debate in college. And I think Holden will too.
What have you learned about the whole debate about the space program from this? Do you have an idea as to where it fits in now in terms of the nation's priorities? And what do you think? And Ben, I'll start with you.
A lot of the debates we have are about, like, very particular policy questions about space rather than the space program in general. So I guess that's why I don't have, like, an off-the-top-of-my-head answer. But I get the impression that a lot of the money we spend on the space program is not very useful. Like, colonizing other planets, for instance, is probably not a near-term priority, or at least should not be. But I think things like science about Earth and space are useful. Like, the services that space has for Earth are often necessary. And I think that's what the most powerful arguments that affirmative teams make usually come from.
The thing I've learned most from the space topic is just, like, how crazy it is. Like, the fact that we got to space with the computing power of, like my calculator that I use in, like, a math class, we managed to travel millions of miles with just, like, the, like, engineering ability of, like, a couple people in NASA just, like, blows my mind. And I just have a tremendous respect for, like, where science has brought us.
We'll send your contact information to Speaker Gingrich, who maybe he'll pick up on some of what you have to say. This may sound like a silly question, but has getting so good at debate helped you in debating your parents and your families at home? And Holden, I'll start with you.
It was useful up to a point, but like after they realized that it was just like not a useful effort, it kind of just devolved into I'm your parent. Like, what I say goes, which is really just, like, worse than it started out as.
Oh, so they stopped trying to reason with you and just said, because I said so.
It has devolved into that.
Something that they could have said to start with, probably.
Probably. I guess that's an instance where not debating was a little more useful.
Ben, how about you?
I usually didn't get into many arguments with my parents. And when I do, since it's so sparing, I usually get what I want. So... I have not really had a chance to test out my debating skills in the real world.
So pick your battles at home. That's your advice?
Yes.
Isabel, let me turn to you for a second. You do extemporaneous speaking. This is a whole different skill, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally different from policy debate. For each round, you will draw three questions 30 minutes before you're supposed to give your speech, and you pick the question you want to answer, and then you use your time to plan and memorize your speech, and you have access to articles that you've pulled and organized ahead of time. So we have big tubs of articles that we print from newspapers and journals and think tanks.
And from what your colleagues here tell me, you are ranked number one in the country in this. Is that right?
Well, there's just this one guy who has a website, and according to his metric, I am number one, but, you know, it's just one website. And I think really all speech and debate events, winning one tournament or even winning multiple tournaments doesn't mean you're the best. It just means you won that tournament and you got lucky and you had a good day. So,
what's been the toughest topic that you ever drew or picked where you went, oh my God, I can't believe I have to talk about that in a few minutes?
Well, I drew one for the final round of a tournament at George Mason University in December, which when I got it, I kind of had a panic attack because all of the other options were really difficult too, and this was just the least challenging. It was, should ASEAN establish a human rights tribunal for Myanmar in the wake of democratization that has been happening there, or something along those lines.
And it was, and ASEAN, let me interrupt you for a second. ASEAN is what?
The Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And so it was a really challenging question because I hadn't really thought about that. And I kind of didn't understand where it was coming from, but it ended up being okay. And you just have to rely on your background knowledge and the information that you've pulled and try to come up with something.
Same silly question for you. Does this ability to think on your feet help you at home when your parents say, hey, where did that come from?
No, it doesn't. It's like what Holden said. At the end of the day, they can just say, I'm your parent. You have to do what I say.
You've learned an awful lot of things that perhaps other kids don't get a chance to learn or get a chance to practice as much. How do you think this will help you for the rest of your life in dealing with other people? And Isabel, I'll start with you.
I think it's really helpful to be able to think on your feet and to be able to use information to draw your own conclusions, because that's really what you have to do in Extemp. And it's also taught me a lot about how to relate to people, because you have to be able to communicate effectively to a judge who is a parent and to a judge who is a college student who does Extemp and has read more than you have. So it really teaches you to kind of tailor your argumentation strategies and also try to identify some kind of, I guess, like, universal style that can appeal to everyone and be effective. So that's been really helpful.
Ben, how about you?
I think debate improves my ability to make decisions and process information. Besides from like particular things it teaches me about space exploration or other topics, I think that being able to answer a multi-sub-pointed arguments that may contradict themselves, read at like 400 words per minute in an 8-minute speech with limited preparation time, teaches me how to handle information and make decisions in the real world.
Holden, how about you?
I think everything Ben said is pretty accurate. It's debate, like most sports, you learn particular rules, but the reason why they're useful is because they like increase your overall fitness. So debate's kind of like that. The world doesn't operate in terms of like 8-minute speeches, but it does operate in terms of competing informations. And when you get good at debate, you get good at kind of learning things and acquiring information and redeploying that for the way you want to use it. So while like learning about Nietzsche, Heidegger, or like U.S. exceptionalism may be useful in like in particular instances, the method of acquiring information is what's more useful.
You all are upperclassmen. Holden, Ben, you're seniors. Isabel, you're a junior. Let's say a freshman comes in and is trying to decide what to do, you know, try out for a sports team, join the drama club, do whatever. And they look at debate and they go, ew, that's more studying. That's what geeks do. That's, you know, all of that sort of thing. I'll start with Isabel. Sell me on being part of the debate team.
Well, we get to go on a lot of trips, which are just a lot of fun, and the stuff we learn for debate is just really cool and interesting, so you should do it because it's fun and you get to meet cool people and spend a lot of time together, and I've made a lot of really great friends through debate, and I think Ben and Holden have too. And it's not just at your school. You get to meet people from all over the country and form really close friendships because you have something in common and something you can talk about.
Ben, how about you? I'm a freshman. What am I going to get out of debate? How much fun am I going to have?
Well, everything that Isabel said, I agree with. I think debate provides a really nice community that I at least can fit into. I think that a competition where your success is largely determined on like how much work you do and how much you think is really appealing, because it's like a battle of wits thing. I think that's fun and sort of exciting. And that's one of the reasons I was attracted to debate initially.
And Holden?
I think the community of people is probably the best part, because everyone who like does debate for an extended period of time also has a similar way of viewing the world, and also like a similar sense of humor, which is generally like very dry. So it produces like not only very interesting conversations, but also like very funny ones that you want to keep going. I think the second one is just like debate is a game like none other. You will not find a single competition where you can win by breaking the rules. So it's like the complexity of chess, but you can add another board or like add new pieces or just like arbitrarily like remove sections of it. And that's like generally okay because there like are no rules.
Sounds more like Angry Birds than chess.
Yeah, I guess it'd be like Angry Birds if like you could play as the pigs and just like change the configuration of everything.
Yeah. And Grady has a history of really doing well at this, don't they? Were you guys aware of that when you came in?
A little, because I knew a person who had coached us a couple years ago, Joel Lemuel, who now works at the University of Southern California, was at the Tournament of Champions, was in the top 16, like a phenomenal debater and also in college, and he like helped us a little.
Holden Choi, Ben Dean, Isabel Taft, congratulations, and thanks very much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.